Thank you very much, Randy. And now we would like to ask Dismas Masolo to please come. Dismas is professor of philosophy at University of Louisville.
I think it's almost proverbial that to come to the podium to speak about Ivan, one has to make this huge circle around this pillar. I think that many of you will remember that if you wanted anything in front of Ivan, you had to make a great circle around him to get to those objects. I do read in this program about Ivan's description of objects of art when he says that these are not historyless objects. They have a history of use, of involvement in people's lives, which enhances their appeal for him. Now, I want to talk about Ivan's involvement with my life, with the life of my family, and how through Ivan I got to be involved with the lives of many other people beyond him and beyond my own immediate family. I have known Ivan since mid-1980s. That's when I met both Corey and Ivan, and we became instant friends. I first visited the United States around that time on Ivan's invitation. We had conferences inside this building. We had many seminars in the building with the rotunda. We had several seminars in a building across here, and not one of them was ever dull. Ivan has been my mentor. Ivan has been the person who, if I may use this proverb, taught me how to go through the professional links up to where I find myself today. So my story about Ivan is both personal as well as professional. But there are so many of those people who will affect you in different ways. But Ivan affected me and my family in ways that probably many of you might only probably have heard of when they read newspaper stories about the political events in some African countries. I'm a Kenyan. After I knew Ivan and we became great friends, as many of you will probably remember, Kenya started its plunge into decline. Towards the end of the 1980s, it was obvious that many of us were facing lots of big dangers. It was that moment that Ivan once told me, "Masolo, I think it would be very wise for you to start thinking about the globe rather than about the village. Think wide, think broadly, think large, think big." So things worsened anyway, and in 1991, I ran into a huge problem. A huge problem with Moi's government. On April 17th, 1991, I gave a talk at Egerton University in the Rift Valley. It was an evening talk. Came back to Nairobi the following morning, and there was a notice waiting for me on my office door. See the vice chancellor immediately. So I called a friend of mine and said, "This can't be good." And he said, "Oh, maybe you have been appointed chair of the department and things like that, you know." I said, "Wow. If people who are appointed chairs of departments by notices pinned on their doors, it would be wonderful. But I don't think good things come that way." So I went to the vice chancellor's office, and when he was told I was standing at his door, he opened his door very quickly, pulled me in and said, "Sit down here." And I sat, and he said, "Where were you last night?" And I said, "What do you mean, where was I last night?" And he said, "You were not in the city." I said, "Well, I was not. I was at Egerton." He said, "What did you do there?" I said, "Give a talk." "About what?" I said, "About philosophy." And the vice chancellor, Professor Philip Mbithi, then said, "You have been fired because you insulted the head of state last night. Do you see this telephone here? Moi called me himself and said, you either leave or you will be arrested." So I looked at him and I said, "This cannot be true because I never mentioned the man." And he said, "You did it, and it was reported." Well, I said, well, then this must be a very big lie. And Biffy looked at me and said, did you call the head of state a liar? I said, what he said cannot be true. He said, you call him a liar? That is treasonable. I said, where are we going with this kind of story? I mean, first of all, you are being accused of saying things I didn't say, and when I say it's not true, I'm being called, being accused of treason. And Biffy tells me, to protect you, you are fired. That is the only protection I can give you. So I said, fine. You're not allowed to step on campus. You're not allowed to have any contacts with students. Go home. So I went home, told my dear wife, Christine, and the kids what had happened. But immediately we thought of doing things a little differently. I had no job. We had to live. We had children. So life went on. We contacted Ivan, and Ivan became a very, very resourceful person at the time. Ivan got me into contact with Samir Amin, who was running an African research organization at the time. And through those contacts, we started getting funds to do things, to write and things like that. So towards the middle of that year, we decided that we wanted to travel upcountry to see our parents. But we didn't arrive. We had a terrible, terrible road accident. We don't know how. It's always a blank. So after that whole drama of being admitted to hospital, one of our children died in the accident. All right, so we came back to Nairobi. And after I was discharged from hospital, Ivan called and said, Masolo, I told you to leave that country. And I said, I can't leave the country because I would need to get permission from the Vice Chancellor's office to leave the country. I can't get out of the airport. So we thought about things and about what to do. I was in a cast then. I went back to the Vice Chancellor, and the Vice Chancellor tells me, you want to leave the country? We know what you want to do. Yes, we know where exactly you want to go. I said, where do you think I want to go? I want to go get medical attention. And the Vice Chancellor looked at me and said, we know you want to go to Rice University. You want to go join your friend, your other rebel friend, Atieno. Well, here's the story, that it happened to be true. That we were planning, Ivan and other groups of friends had organized for me to go to Rice University as I left the country. But I quickly stepped up and told Mithi, that is also a lie. Right? I've told you that you people survive politically on telling people lies and telling lies about others. Now, Mithi looked at me and said, where do you want to go? I said, these people must have read my letters. They know exactly what's going on. I must come up with a lie now. So I said, I want to go to Duke. I want to go to Duke to get medical attention. So I said, now, I have mentioned Duke. I must produce Duke. All right. So Mithi says, I want to see the evidence. I said, if you give me time, I will give you the evidence. So I walked out of Mithi's office and went to the International Red Cross, and we called Ivan. Ivan was still here. We called Ivan, and I told Ivan the story, and Ivan said, very good. I will call Mudimbe at Duke immediately, and I will make Mudimbe write you an invitation letter to their medical school, which is backdated. Well, it happened that the police could read everything except telex. Right? So Mudimbe sends this letter in about half an hour. The telex had arrived in Nairobi, inviting me to Duke University to go to hospital. In the meantime, Ivan arranges for, if you wish, an airlift, buys air tickets for me and for my family, and leaves it upon us to find how to leave the country. So that is my very, very personal involvement with Ivan. It is painful, but Ivan has been everything there for us. So I came over, I went to Rice University, and the story has been what it has become since then. But through those personal friendships, I have come to know many other people with whom I have also become friends. And it is indeed ironic that I meet some of them after a long time. Only when we are here to celebrate Ivan's life, that is no more. But as we say in my language, dead people don't invite people to their funerals. So it's upon us, because we value what he did for us, because we value those personal relationships, because we value the many things we did together with him, that we all find ourselves here telling our different stories, telling our very personal involvements with him and how he shed light, sometimes very, very bright, sometimes just with a glimmer, but which touched very different in many people in very different ways. So again, the professional importance of Ivan cannot be exaggerated. Many of you sit here because you have shared professional encounters with him. Through Ivan, I have come to know people that I've not met for a very long time, people like Lynn Swire. Dr. Lynn Swire was assistant director of the Rockefeller Foundation at the time. The Rockefeller Foundation became almost a second home to me when I was in trouble with my family in those years. There are many people that, whose names I may not mention now, but it's not because I don't remember you all. It's because we all want to say something about Ivan. So Ivan was big. Ivan was great. Ivan was important. Ivan was powerful. Even more so than he was big. Thank you.